Hey there, you sexy book lovers. Welcome to Cocktails and Clitoratures Wine Down Wednesdays, where we review the steamy, smutty romance novels we all love while sipping on irresistible wine and cocktails. I'm Constance, joined by my sister Amber, and we're your fierce and fabulous guides on this wild ride. We'll have you giggling, blushing, and feeling that heat in all the right places. So let's spread those pages wide open, get cozy, and sip on our insanely delicious drinks as we conquer that midweek slump like the naughty vixens we are. Cheers. Welcome back to Cocktails and Clitoratures. I'm your host, Constance.
And I'm your co-host, Amber.
And we are super excited to have you here. We're all about those spicy, smutty books and having a delicious cocktail while we enjoy ourselves and sit back and relax.
Absolutely. And it's been a day, so I've been lazy as hell. And I don't have any effort to like get fancy with my drink today. So sorry, audience. It's a champagne kind of night. Cheers.
There you go. Cheers. Again, I have mine in my larger glass. Mm-hmm. Whatever works. We're getting drunk anyway, so hey.
Hey, it all goes down the same.
Okay, maybe
it does.
Maybe just a little extra tipsy. How about I say that? I don't think we can get through this with being drunk, because then it's just all over the place. Yeah.
There's Sarah J. Maas kicks your ass, and there's no way I can be fucked up trying to explain all the details and, you know, the court of see, Sarah J. Maas, these titles, y'all, come on, keep it simple. A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah J. Maas. It's like three books in one.
Yeah, it's a beast. It is
worth the read, but hard to break down for a review.
Yes, we were very ambitious with this series.
Yes.
Being like a new podcast, like fantasy books, we love them, but they just take a little bit extra effort when it goes into really getting into all the details and give you a really great summary, because there's just so much that happens in these books. And I think we're going to be breaking all of these up when we do these really large novels, because it's a lot.
Yeah. And the authors, they put so much time and effort into these books. And then particularly this series is a cult following. So we do not want to disappoint any of the readers. We do not want to disappoint Sarah, just in case she ever wants to check out Cocktails and Clitoratures. And we just want to make sure that we do our due diligence. So hang in there with us. If you're a fan, you already know what it is.
Let's get into it.
So we are, like I said, reading A Court of Wings and Ruin. We're going to have a lot of fun. This book is broken up into three like acts, pretty much. And the first one is called Princess of Carrion. I like to call it AKA Mind Games, because Favre was all over the place, just plotting and spying and just being a gangster, if you ask me.
She's straight up scheming. She really learned how to be a member of the Night Court, and she plays her role very well here.
Exactly. It makes me think of this Drake song where he goes, scheming, plotting, get money. That's what it makes me think. But okay, I digress. Okay, so we pick up with Feyre, who's now a High Lord, and she has infiltrated the Spring Court. Tamlin and the court are under the impression that she was held hostage and abused by the Night Court, by Rhys, and that their bond is now gone. But we know that that's not true. Mm-hmm. Feyre plans to tear the Spring Court apart from the inside. However, Lucien seems to be a little cautious when it comes to her behavior. Feyre has to be very careful, and not only does she have to fool the Spring Court, she has to also fool the Prince and Princess of Highburn and Jurian, who are all staying at the Spring Court to learn about the wall and to ensure Tamlin's alliance. Now, keep in mind, Lucien is now made it to Feyre's sister, Elaine, who was taken by the Night Court right along with Nesta. So that's what we jump right into. And in this first section, we get to see all of that plotting, scheming, get money part of Feyre. And so we're going to break down some of her major moments that started to tear down and create the demise of the Supreme Court. So go ahead, girl, get into it.
Okay, so let's talk about Thera and her scheming, because she deserves an Oscar award for how she was able to manipulate the situation that she was in. So Ayanthe, High Priestess, wants everyone to think she's so powerful and beautiful and favored. But Solstice comes around and Ayanthe was giving her speech and thanking the cauldron. And as she's doing this, Thera began to glow, signifying that the cauldron blessed her, the curse breaker, instead of Ayanthe. So the crowd bowed to her and they're like, you are favored. You are the one. We will follow you. So now Thera's got the favor of the court.
Yes. And she pissed off Ayanthe. She was heated and she's like, that's what she expected from the crowd. But Thera got it instead. So, check one, win for Thera.
Okay. Yes.
So her second major win in this plotting and the scheming came down to when Lucien and Thera went to the wall with the Highburn royals. And there were a couple of humans that were trying to do their little, hey, we love the fairies. They're so good. They're not what you think they are. Thera was like, bitch, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Get the fuck out of here. But they don't listen, or they don't get far enough. And the royals, they want to have a little fun. They have a need to kill. I mean, they're Highburn. Of course they want to kill. So they go after these humans and they kill them. And as we know, Thera was once a human. So this doesn't sit well with her. So Lucien and Thera decide that they're going to go ahead and sick the bog on them. You just can't get away with killing humans, especially not on my watch. So they get back to the Supreme Court. Tamlin is pissed that she did this to their guest. Mind you, he has an alliance with Highburn, so this doesn't sit well with him. He excuses Lucien, and he loses his shit. This was one of my favorite lines that Thera said, and it was cold as fuck. She said, you might be willing to get on your knees for Highburn, but I certainly am not. And that sets him off. First of all, you know, women, we have a slick mouth. You try some shit, I'm going to hurt your little feelings. And she hurt his feelings. And he used his magic and the furniture in his study just went everywhere. And Thera acted as if she couldn't move. And she let the furniture hit her, knock her down, give her a cut on the cheek. And now she's this abused victim by this abuser, this angry Tamlin. Mind you, the whole house can hear it. So now she looks like a victim and he looks like an abuser. And so even everybody that works for them, the servants and the ladies in wait, they're all looking at him like, how dare you do this to the curse breaker? So that's not a good look. So another win for Thera, because she played that victim role like a fucking champ.
She did, because they heal really quickly. She was like, no, I'm not going to heal because I want people to see these scratches and reaffirm that he abused me. So. And it's not like she couldn't like do her shield, because she did that before in the past. Like, she shielded herself. This time she was like, I don't give two fucks. So, yeah, she played that part well. I was like, okay, Thera, I see you.
Yeah, that was like checkmate. I was like, that's a whole nother level of crazy and commitment. Yes, it reminded me of that movie, what, Martin Lawrence called A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. Remember, she grabbed that bag of like oranges or grapefruit and just hit herself, and then Omen got him arrested. That's what that shit reminded me of. I was like, wow.
That's crazy. She was crazy.
Yes,
I remember that. That was a wild movie.
Yeah.
Okay, her last scheme before they depart, an opportunity presented itself. Tamlin's keys went missing, and there was an invasion by the Naga because of this. Now, the sentry told Tamlin that Ayanthe stole it, but when Ayanthe called him a liar, Thera stepped in and allowed the soldier to tell his story. But Ayanthe looked to Tamlin and dismissed all his claims and said he needs to be punished for his lying. Tamlin sided with Ayanthe and whipped the soldier without even listening to what he had to say. I was pissed. And so was Pharaoh. She made it known that she wasn't happy. And the other sentries were looking at Tamlin with a whole new perspective. So that's another win.
Yeah, they trusted their brother, because you have to when you're a soldier and you work together. The trust is high. And then how dare you discount our curse breaker, the woman who glowed because she was blessed by the mother in the cauldron. Tamlin really fucked up. And also, it just reminded me of why she left you. Still, after all this time, she's telling you, hey, let me roll beside you. I got us this far. If I'm telling you to listen to the sentry, listen to it. So, I mean, Tamlin's going to be Tamlin.
Tamlin's some bullshit. He's a bitch.
Yes.
This fool is, he's just so weak-minded, in my opinion. You can have all the power and the strength in the world, but if you mentally can't accept people for who they are, and instead of being threatened by them, utilize them for their strengths, then there's a problem. And he was all about the patriarchy and didn't want Feyre to have any say in anything. And that's why he is where he is today. Just a bitch.
Absolutely. So Feyre has gained Lucien in the court because they're upset with Tamlin for hurting Feyre, her handmaiden. She knows Feyre is putting on a show, but still respects her because she's freed everyone. Jorian suspects Feyre is full of shit because he has only known Rhys to be a good guy, yet Jorian is entertained and unbothered by her scheming ways. The people are losing faith in Ianthe and their priestess. Sentries who are beginning to rebel against their High Lord and their Highborn royals are doubting the strength of their allies here. I mean, her plan is working just seamlessly.
She's a mastermind. From someone
or an illiterate.
That is exactly, I was going to try to make it sound nicer. But yeah, for an illiterate, uneducated person, she was smart as fuck and knew how to get in there and make shit work to her advantage. And I give her mad props for that.
Absolutely. So the chapter ends when Tamlin decides and Ianthe are like, you know what? You can't keep going to the wall without us. We want to see what it is. We want to be there. So they all go to the wall. Feyre thinks it's a good time to get away. She comes up with a little distraction. She goes to get away. What does she catch? Ianthe and Lucien. Ianthe is being a predator and she's on her way to rape him or take advantage of him. And yeah. Feyre's like, I should go, but I can't let this happen. So anyway, she takes over Ianthe's mind, makes her smash her hand to bits and pieces and says, you will not touch anyone without consent. So while she's pausing to do this, the royals, the Highborn royals, stumble upon what they've done. They're like, ha ha, we knew you were up to some shit. So I think we have a free range to kill you. So they try to attack her and Lucien, but they lose because Feyre is a high lady and is powerful as fuck. So Feyre and Lucien fight together and kill the royals, and they are able to flee. That's the end of part one. So I have a few questions before we get in. Yes. I have a few questions before we get on to part two. Mm-hmm. So as you were reading this, and also because of the two previous books, did you think Feyre was going to pull off her scheming ways as you were reading? Were you skeptical?
Yeah, I was a little skeptical because I was worried for her. I didn't know. I mean, I know she has these powers. I know she's been training. She's been in situations where she's, been able to exhibit some of the things that she's learned, right? But it's one thing to do that there and another to be off on your own back in this environment that was so toxic, so draining, so traumatizing, and be able to pull this off. So I was a little worried about that. But I also know that she has that inner strength that she was able to pull out when she was under the mountain to free all these fays. So I did have faith, but I was a little nervous. What about you?
Pretty much the same, but I will be honest, when I was reading this part of the book, this is the biggest part of the series so far where I thought less, or I said this less in my mind, Feyre is dumb as fuck. I did not say that in part one. I was really like, yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. So this was the first time where I was like, she's not an idiot. So same.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next question then. I'm going to ask you, Amber. Okay. Were you worried Faber would have to have sex with Tamlin while she was there?
I was. As I'm like, how long does she think her scheming needs to last? How long can you pretend to be in love with Tamlin and act like you were a victim of the night court before Tamlin is going to want to get into that pussy? I was really, really worried. But she was very slick about it. Remember, she woke up and she had a nightmare and she ran to Lucian's room. Mm-hmm. And she found ways to, like, even on good nights where her and Tamlin were not quite vibing, but she was pretending like it was all good. She found ways to be so dramatic that he wouldn't dare try to sleep with her. So I was, but again, she was slick with her shit and it didn't happen. What about you?
Yeah, I didn't worry about that so much because I thought she's mated to Reese. I knew she wasn't going to do it. I was curious as to how she was going to get out of those situations. But she just used her trauma as a reason that she just wasn't ready yet. She had been through too much. So that was one of the things that she used. And then, yeah, like you said, like she put herself in situations to where it gave Tamlin pause, like what is really going on with Lucian. She was like touching him and getting close with him. She wasn't doing any of that with Tamlin. So he's getting mixed messages at the same time.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that she was getting him to turn on people and getting people to turn on him. Well, okay, I have a question for you now.
Okay.
How do you think the night court is going to feel when Lucian shows up with Feyre? Like, what were your predictions?
I was mad that Feyre actually even took him because I was like, fuck Lucian. I hate that fool. He wasn't trying to, like, help her. He had all these excuses. And then, like, he kept asking about Elaine while she was at the Spring Court, acting like just because that's his mate that he has, like, a right to know what's going on with her. He has a right, like, to some sort of ownership. Like, he was in that way of thinking. I did not want him to go and then be trying to push up on Elaine right after she got out of the cauldron. And then everything he did to Feyre's, and can he really be trusted? That remained to be seen at that time.
Yeah. He always gave me conflicting vibes. And now that his mate is with the Night Court, I felt like this part of the story would make him choose a side for sure. I wanted to see what he was made of. I didn't hate him, but I didn't love him.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. He lived in the gray.
He seemed like he was doing what he thought he should do, but there's also another part that's tugging at him, his right and wrong. His moral compass was really at play, conflicting with what he felt like he was supposed to do. So we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. It's all about, with Lucian, I think it's about loyalty. And, you know, where that lies with him.
Well, whew, part one was a lot. But if you think part one was a lot, part two was like majority of the book. It was like this thick of story. I was like, shit, is there even a part three? There is. But part two took up most of the book in the pages.
It really did.
So part two is called Curse Breaker. But as I read it, I thought, this section or this part should have been called Blending the Family, right? Because it was just so much mixing and mingling. I was like, what the hell? How's this going to work? So part two picks up with Feyre and Lucian evading capture from the Autumn Court while making their way to the Night Court. They run into some trouble with Lucian's brothers. They find them. They attack them. They want to get Feyre. They want to be on the side of Highburn so that they're safe. And things are starting to look grim. Their powers are not as strong because of the Fae Bane. So they don't have their powers, but Lucian's brothers do. So they're at a disadvantage. And Feyre is just hoping as soon as she gets an inkling of her power, she's going to sin as much. Like, save me, help me down the bond so Reese can help. And what happens? Reese comes through and they look over just when things are looking grim as fuck. And you see Cassian and Azriel show up and they kick Lucian's brother's asses. Okay. And then they winnow Feyre and Lucian to the Night Court. But before we get into all the dynamics of all the different people that are coming together in the night court. Let's get into the fact that Feyre and Rhysand are now reunited.
Yeah, reunited, and it feels so good.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
That's right.
I don't know anything past that first.
Me neither. Person.
Me neither. Don't even know who sings it.
Same. I don't, you know, that's old school. Okay, so yes, Rhys sees Feyre, and as soon as he looks at her, he's like, everybody go find somewhere else to be for a while, because he wanted to fuck that pussy. It's been a long time, few weeks. They just got mated. They just got married. Like, he was missing her. And so they got down and dirty, and I was there for it all night long. That's a lot of sex. I mean,
yeah.
But he drew a bath for her. It was amazing. I loved it. So given that, what did you miss most about Feyre and Rhys's relationship while she was at the Supreme Court?
I missed everything about them. Their playful banter, their teasing, their sexy innuendos, their sexual play. I missed it all. And I feel like Sarah spent a lot of time on their reunion. We got to see them catch up on their time apart, because imagine, she has a lot to inform him about with the Supreme Court. He has a lot to tell her about what he was doing. And imagine being away from your mate, needing to say so much, but also wanting to touch every inch of their body. I just thought that was so beautiful. And to your point, he ran a bath so she could wash off, for one, the attack of Lucian's brothers, and for two, to wash off their time away. And I just thought the care that he gave her before he fucked the shit out of her was perfect foreplay, right? Women, we need mental intimacy. We need physical care. And then we are ready for the fucking. He just did it in such a good order.
He did. I loved it. And that wraps up another episode of Cocktails and Cliterature, where things got steamy and conversations got spicy. If you enjoyed our wild book reviews, author interviews, and irresistible cocktails and wines we sipped on, make sure to subscribe, download, and rate our podcast wherever you listen. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook at Cocktails and Cliterature for all the latest updates, behind-the-scenes fun, and more. And if you'd like to support the show, consider becoming a patron on our Patreon page. Your support helps us keep the naughty conversation flowing. Thanks for joining us on this thrilling journey. And hey, if the world asks you why you're blushing, tell them you're listening to Cocktails and Cliterature, the podcast that brings the heat one smutty chapter at a time.